I'm Tyler.
And I'm Lindsay.
And we are TLC Coaches.
Helping couples in Act Two of their marriage. Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming back. Tyler and I are going to do a follow-up. Follow-up? Follow-up. I guess it's an opportunity. A follow-up to weight loss and body image and changing your brain around food and diets and body stuff. Our weight loss, or I guess my weight loss program, coaching program, is called Brains Over Body. And you can find us at tlccoaches.com. And we do a free discovery session, which can be with both Tyler and I or with just me, where we talk about you and we talk about the things maybe you've struggled with and what kinds of things I can help you with. And it's awesome. It's free. And free discovery sessions are going well. And I know I have major confidence. I have a lot of confidence in myself in helping people with this. And it's not like, oh, I'm so amazing, I've overcome this. It's not that. It's that I've been to hell and back, and I know that so have you. In fact, when we were talking to Dr. Paul last week, we did a podcast episode with Paul Jenkins, in case you're unfamiliar with him. He is a psychologist turned life coach. And that's where we got our certification from, is through Paul's Live on Purpose Institute. And we met with him in person last Monday, where we did a live podcast. Well, we did a recording, but we showed it live to Facebook. And that podcast will be out in a few weeks. And I think it's Live on Purpose Radio. And it's interesting, you know, he was asking me questions about this topic. And I was basically saying, you know, I know a lot of people, and this is kind of a bold statement to say that I don't know a single woman or even maybe young teen who hasn't at least had some negative thoughts about their body. And then, of course, it's a spectrum. So it goes to the extreme, where I know lots of women who have major, major struggles with their body image and with food and dieting and overusing exercise. I mean, there's so many facets to the whole problem. I don't like to say problem, but, you know, to the whole struggle. So anyway, I'm going to go a little further into backstory, just so that you can know, I guess, a little deeper where I'm coming from and then to where I am now and for where I still continue to hope to be. Because I don't necessarily claim to, like, quote unquote, have it all figured out. And like, I found the magic secret, you know, key to weight loss and accepting and loving your body. But I definitely have, well, you know, Disney princess and, you know, Disney songs roll through my head nonstop. And the way I like to describe it is kind of like the line from Tangled. It's like the fog is lift. It's like the fog has lifted. You know, it's like for years, I felt like I had joy and wonderful, like, amazing things happen, but there was always this kind of fog haze that would just kind of always be there. And it had to do with food and body image and stuff like that. And it's kind of like, at last I see the light. It's like the fog has lifted. And I know that's cheesy, but it's true. That's how I feel. It feels like the fog's lifted. It doesn't mean that I don't still have like some food thoughts, or I don't know. I mean, I'm normal, I'm human, but it's like the fog has lifted. So I want to be able to help you out of your fog. So anyway, just a little bit more, a little deeper to how this all began. I remember being in second grade and asking a boy, I'll leave out his name in case he ever listens, but I remember asking a friend to ask this boy in second grade, maybe it was third grade, I think it was third grade, if he would be my boyfriend, you know. And back then it was like a messenger. I don't think we'd gotten to notes yet, but I had a messenger go ask him if he'd be my boyfriend. And the messenger came back and said, no, he says he won't because you're too fat. And I don't even know. I know that hurts your heart. I know, honey. But I don't even know that I had any realization that I was fat in third grade until that happened. And then a few years later, I remember being in dance, and I remember being a chubby dancer. Like, I remember being aware that I was bigger than the other girls, but I was a good little dancer. And there were like three tiers. There was starlets. There was rising stars, and then starlets, and then stars. And the starlets was the middle group that I was in. Blue sequins. That was my costume. Permed hair. Anyway, for any Mesa people, you might remember stars if you grew up in the 80s. And my dance teacher pulled me in her office one day, and it was just her and I. And she wanted to tell me that I was a really good dancer and that she really thought that I could be a star. I could move up to stars if I lost some weight. And that is my memory
How
of her
old were you?
exact words, about 10,
Oh
maybe
my
11.
gosh.
And I don't even know that I really knew what that meant, like lose some weight. And I remember saying, like feeling like I had to explain it. I remember saying something to the effect of, well, my mom is chubby and people in my family are chubby. And I didn't really know how to respond. Needless to say, I quit dance soon after that. And honestly, it's one of my biggest regrets, even though I've done some dancing in shows we've been in and stuff. Like I'm a decent mover, but I watch people dance like a lyrical dance, and I just think, oh, I would love to be able to just fly around the stage. Anyway, so I remember being in eighth grade, I was playing the role of Dorothy, and I was a fat Dorothy. I remember in Wizard of Oz. And I remember being very conscious that I was a fat Dorothy. Big old space with braces in my teeth. Anyway, and I was very self-conscious of it. I was confident in my singing and in my performance, but I remember definitely being aware that I was a fat Dorothy. In ninth grade, I remember I didn't get the role in Alice the Musical. It was like a little spoof kind of on Alice in Wonderland. And another girl got the role of Alice, and I remember being very jealous of her. I got the role of the Duchess, which, in hindsight, was a great role. It was kind of the comic relief, and it was a funny role. And I remember I was already big. I was already a big, chubby girl. And the costume they gave me was these big stuffed boobs and a huge stuffed bustle bum. And to be funny on purpose, like that was the point, was to walk off and really shake my bum and have it move, the costume move, and it was funny. And I just was mortified, mortified
Whoa.
that I was already fat. So it was like, for heaven's sake, we're just making me fatter. And I played it and I did fine and I was funny and those things, but it was very the good of the show and the fun of the show was so overshadowed by that. Sophomore year, I was had a normal sophomore year, but at the end of my sophomore year, I remember really getting into exercise, and it was kind of when it was in the early 90s when the fat free craze came in and everything. I remember Snackwells came in and they were, a grocery cookie you could buy that was fat free, and it was like a big fat free movement. And so at the time, I dove into that, not super consciously, I don't remember thinking I'm going to lose weight. I just remember really liking exercise. And so the summer before my junior year, I started going to the track at the high school nearby and walking. And then it turned into running. And then I started kind of paying attention a little bit to my eating and to fat grams, because that was kind of the in thing. And I lost maybe 20, I don't know, I don't remember the numbers, but I remember going back my junior year thinner, noticeably thinner for me noticing, and also noticing that other people were noticing. And what was interesting about that is I'm a 16 years old girl, year old girl, and it was strange to be getting compliments from people and getting attention from people who hadn't paid much attention to me before. And so I was popular. I was in the musicals and I was in student council and I was known for being a singer and known for, for being involved and all those things. But now I was the skinny, prettier girl. And so it was like, wait, well, that guy wouldn't give me the time of day last year when I was chubby, but now he's being my friend. And so that was just, it was a very strange, it was, you're looking at me like you're understanding. It's a weird thing for a teenager to go through. So then my junior year, I remember having a struggle just because I had lost weight and I was still kind of trying to lose weight. And so it was just kind of this experiment of, well, what can I eat and can I not eat? And I remember like looking around at my friends and being like, well, my friend from seventh grade has been skinny her whole life and she eats ice cream when we all get together. And this other friend, well, she eats pizza when we all get together. So it was just this weird thing of, well, how do I then be a normal teenager who also at this point was definitely trying to lose weight or at least stay where I was at. I remember going to church and having an older lady, like a quite older, grandma lady saying to me, "Don't you lose 1 more pound?" And I remember thinking, "Watch me lose 10." Like, she don't say that to me. So then then it became an obsession. It totally became an obsession where during the school week, because my week was so planned with activities, life could kind of be life was kind of about food, in that food had to kind of, well, life had to fit in where food could fit in, if that makes sense. Like there was breakfast.
Schedule life around your food.
Kind of, but it was kind of nice in a way for the OCD that was occurring, because I was busy. And so it was like breakfast, go to school, lunch, go to some more school, have a snack, go to rehearsal, you know, dinner. And so at this point, I was just trying to see if I could get like 800 calories a day and maybe 2 fat grams. So I got really, really, really thin. But what was sad was that it just became an obsession to where my friends were. I was still friends with my group of friends, but I remember I missed out on a lot. I know they went to a lot of activities that I didn't go to, mostly because it was Friday night and I'd be like, well, there's going to be pizza there and soda and crap I'm not eating. So I don't know how to be normal. What then happened was, because I was so obsessed and because the weeks were so easily planned out, it seemed easy to stay on this regimen of eating. Oh, and I should also add that I got pretty obsessed as well with exercise. I also really liked exercise though. So that's a tricky thing. But anyway, so weekends were hard at this point in high school because weekends weren't as planned out. And so it was just kind of this open-ended freedom, this open-ended freedom. And that's when bulimia kind of snuck in, because I was very nervous about overeating. And so if I overate, I was nervous about, of course, about gaining weight. And then it would just kind of become this like rampant, crazy thought train. And I would just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. And then I would purge. So then that just adds a whole mess of stuff. I remember telling my mom that I was bulimic. I did know what that was. I remember telling her, and she was very, a little bit kind of maybe doubtful that I, at least that was my perception, that maybe she wasn't sure I really was, but very supportive. And what I went to a counselor, and I had some success with that counselor. After high school, the bulimia kind of would only continue for me. The purging, I guess I should say, really binging and purging really only happened for me on the weekends. And it really wasn't it's not necessarily super important, but the bulimia wasn't what I would say was, let's see, how do I put this? I felt like the obsession with food and size was much worse than the bulimia part. The binging and purging didn't actually happen that often. If it happened, it would happen on a weekend. The binging and purging continued, or sorry, the weight loss obsession really continued after college. I did a pageant. I was Miss Mesa 1996. Don't get me started on pageants. And went to the Miss Arizona pageant, you know, feeling like, here, I'm supposed to be this beauty queen who's well-spoken and talented and beautiful and skinny all at once, and I'm a hot mess. So I got home from the Mesa Arizona pageant, kind of had a little bit of a breakdown, went to BYU Hawaii for 2 semesters, really still struggled, but it was while I was at BYU Hawaii that I was like, this throwing up thing is really stupid. And for me, and I cannot say this is for everybody, because if you have an eating disorder, I am not at all claiming to have any of the expertise on bulimia or any other eating disorder. But for me, in my experience, it was easy for me to give up the purging. It was almost like I hit adulthood and I was like, this isn't keeping me thin. First of all, this is just stupid. And so the last time I ever purged, was when I was 21.
Oh.
So yeah, maybe you didn't know that part. So yeah, I just was kind of like, this is dumb. It's probably ruining my voice. You know, I don't know that it did, but it just was dumb. So anyway, the purging ended, but still was definitely obsessed with weight and size and food. At this point, I'd actually put on some weight. I remember going to Overeaters Anonymous as a young adult. I remember thinking I had a food addiction, definitely bought into that whole world of food addiction. I dated different guys who said, you're wonderful and beautiful and talented, and I just love you to pieces, but I don't see our relationship furthering, you know, with you at this size. I dated other guys who wanted to marry me and it just wasn't there, and, or whatever. That's not really the topic of this. But anyway, it was when I met Tyler. I was probably about 30, 40 pounds bigger than I am now. And, you know, you just loved me for me, and you saw me in the inside. And my size didn't really matter. I do remember being really open with you, though. And, you know, as we were falling in love, I definitely was like, look, here's all my crap. Here's all my, you know, basically just threw up on you, you know, pun intended,
Oh dear.
and said, this is what I've been through. And so I remember you saying in that conversation, like, I feel like we're going into our relationship with our eyes wide open.
Yeah,
And
also during that time, but you had already gotten through all that stuff. Like you said, you had already ceased to purge. You were in a different place. And I remember actually when we were dating, you told me at some point, well, maybe it was when we were engaged, that you felt like that stuff had kind of gone away.
yeah.
And then it reared its head again later on.
Well, yeah, I think it was kind of, again, that fog, like I was talking about earlier,
Right.
was still kind of there, even when it's gone. Even when I've had times of it being better, it was kind of like always there. It's kind of like a gnawing headache. Like you can still live your life, but there's just like this dull headache. It's kind of like that. So anyway, then we fell in love and got married, and I remember wanting to make a change with my body, going to Weight Watchers, deciding Weight Watchers was like the it thing because, you know, you can eat anything you want, just not everything you want. And I
You
really
said that a
liked, I
lot.
know I said that a
I
lot.
remember you saying that a
However, what
lot.
happened with that was because at that time they came out with their smart points, or I think that's what their flex points, where you could have 35 extra points or a week on top of what you were eating. So then I would just have my flex points on the weekends. Well, then my flex points just became, well, then let's just screw it and eat all weekend. So then our life was kind of based on what Saturday weigh-ins would look like.
Yep.
And, you know, this is before kids. I remember getting pretty thin on Weight Watchers and really, really liking it, but it was just always never enough. Never enough. Okay, great show. But anyway, it was never enough. Like I was never thin enough. And, you know, it's kind of like you look back on pictures and you say, oh, I wish I was as fat as I thought I was then. You know, I wish now I was as fat as I thought I was then, because I was never, you know, I was never really that big. But anyway, just never thin enough kind of thing. So then, you know, after each kid, I was on either Weight Watchers, right? Or like my Fitness Pal. And it was just never enough. And they say there's like that. I've heard people say you can't hate yourself thin. I kind of disagree with that in a way. I've thought about that the last few weeks, that I kind of did hate myself thin. But guess what? Your result is you hate yourself. Hate's a strong word. I don't believe I ever hated myself. But I really was never satisfied, like never just content with my body. So then fast forward to after having our fourth baby, which was our girl. After three boys, and I shared this with the la in the last podcast that my sister kind of inspired me to stop dieting, and then I went on a four-year mission to be anti-diet. So for 4 years I was anti-diet, and like I shared in the last podcast, I was like, screw you diets, I love my body, I'm neutral about weight. Granted, I had 30, 40 pounds on me, but I was just wanting to be neutral, and I really think I had to go to that pendulum swing like that far away from diets to get where I am now, because I felt like I was on the left for diet craze, and then I had to go all the way to the other side because it was really hard to get in the middle. And I don't know, I would love to help people not have to swing that far, but for me and my little journey, I think that's what needed to happen. I mean, it's also kind of, you know, loving what is whatever did happen, because it is what happened. But, you know, that's another topic of theory, I guess. But anyway, so went on that rampage for 4 years. And then when I had some health issues, end of 2017, I kind of decided, look, I feel like crap. I've got these health issues. Maybe what I should do is eat healthier to see if I feel better. And that's when it all kind of changed for me, was when I had decided to be okay with myself, to just have weight be neutral. That's when I kind of decided to practice what I preach. And that is that I believe I'm a daughter of God. I believe I'm the daughter of a heavenly being, or whatever you believe, a higher power, whatever you want to call it. And it was then that Shakespeare quote would come to mind. They do not love that do not show their love. A quote by Shakespeare. And that's kind of what happened, is that I decided to, you know, just I decided to show by my actions that I loved this body, that had four babies that carries me around every day that's been fairly healthy. There's so many things you can decide to love about your body, or not even love, just be neutral about, just be content with. And so I decided to start feeding it the way I believed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does.
And so that's when I started to just eat more fruits and vegetables. I took out flour and sugar for a period of time. I did a lot of studying about thyroid healing through foods. And because I was so focused on putting in my body things that showed I loved it, they do not love that do not show their love. So showing my body I loved it by feeding it what it liked, quote unquote, or needed, then the bonus was that I lost some weight.
So wait, can I ask a clarifying question?
Of course.
Okay. So does that mean that people who eat flour and sugar don't love their bodies?
Not necessarily. Nope.
Okay.
I'm not here to like be on a flour and sugar kick or not at all. For me though, I do think that for a time taking it out was helpful with the thyroid stuff. I do believe flour and sugar are not good for us, like period.
So if you coach, you're going to say no flour, no sugar?
Not at all. Oh. I'm going to say if you think that's what you might want to do, then great. But this is getting off the topic a little bit, honey. But what I want to do in my coaching with body image and weight loss is not have a program. I actually don't want to put people or suggest a program for people. I want to help people change their brains around food, because I believe once you change your brains around food, then it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you're counting macros. It doesn't matter if you're doing Weight Watchers. It doesn't matter if you just take out flour and sugar. It doesn't matter if you go vegan. None of that matters if you don't fix your brain first. Okay. And I don't like the word fix, but if you don't change your thinking first, it doesn't matter. So this is a little off the topic of my journey and my story, but it's like a friend of mine said to me, I don't know, a few months ago, I like my reasons for doing this. I don't remember what we were talking about, but she says, you know, you have to decide, do you like your reasons? Well, my reasons for eating the way I eat have nothing to do with me being happy. I'm happy because I choose to be happy. My reasons for eating the way I eat have nothing to do with, my reasons aren't about being happy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're not looking for food to...
Food or body size.
Or body size.
Yeah.
To make you happy.
Right. It's kind of like we talked about in the last podcast about body images, that, you know, you realize your life is already amazing and so you can have an upgrade. It's kind of like realizing your body is already amazing and wonderful, being content with that, and then just choosing to have an upgrade. So now, like when I talked about in the last podcast that I do have some fitness / I'm like calling it fitness goals, but just like some physical goals, I guess. You know, it's not like, oh my gosh, I need abs so that I can feel good about myself. It's like, wouldn't it be cool if I had a couple abs, and I've had four kids and I'm 42? So like, that'd be cool. It's just kind of like a neat thing. It's not something that I'm like dying to get to and killing myself to get to. It's just kind of like a little bit of a goal. It might take me like 5 years. I don't know, but I'm not in any rush and I'm content with where I'm at. So anyway, I got a little off the topic with the story, but I think that basically the bottom line is it doesn't matter what you're doing or how you're eating if you like your reason. So in other words, another thing I don't do about food with food anymore is moralize it. A brownie is not good or bad. Mm. I don't eat a brownie because I've been good all week.
Yeah.
Nor do I do the flip side and say, oh, I've been so bad, I ate a brownie. Like, which is it? Is a brownie good or bad? Right. It's neither. It's just a brownie.
Just a brownie.
It just tastes really good. And sometimes I choose to eat it. And sometimes I don't. Most of the times I choose not to, but sometimes I do. And so I do have a lot of thoughts about, you know, in the moment, what do you do when you're wanting a brownie but you really don't want a brownie, but you do. You know, I have thoughts for that, and I would love to share more about that in a discovery session. But it's not rocket science. None of it is rocket science. None of the actual eating or changing your physique is rocket science. It's actually stuff, in my opinion, it's really stuff that we have known our whole life. What has changed for me is my thinking, my reasons for doing things, and my thinking.
Well, it might not sound like rocket science to you, but right now it sounds like rocket science to me.
Why? What do you mean?
But you know, I think your job as a coach, like Dr. Paul says, is to bring the obvious to the surface. And so maybe it is like obvious to you, but I think in the moment, sometimes these things are difficult to really see for yourself until you're on the other side.
Well, I think that that's what's so awesome about coaching is that a coach, especially one, in my opinion, that's been through some of these similar things as you might have been through, a coach can see it kind of like see things you can't see because you're in your own body and you're in your own mind. And so a coach can go, wait a minute, you just said this, but what about this? And so anyway,
It's like the old
I
mirror
love.
analogy.
Yeah, totally. I love coaching about this. I've known for a really long time that my struggles with it weren't just so that I can struggle and like try to make weak things become strong. I don't even necessarily believe they've become strong. I believe I've become humbled by this struggle and that I really would love to help some other women kind of have that fog lifted and see the light. And it's not like this magic thing. Nothing is like a secret. It's not like this, secret to weight loss and body love. It's not that. But I do know that I can help some women help their thinking, change their thinking.
Well, I'm excited for it.
Yep. So yeah, what you guys do if you want a discovery session, did I say this at the beginning? If you want a free discovery session, it can be with either Tyler and I both or just me, especially if you want it to be about body image and weight loss and stuff. We offer a free discovery session where through Zoom we're on a call and we get to just discuss kind of things maybe you've struggled with or things you'd like to change in your life. And super fun. It's been going really well so far. So let me know if you'd like a free discovery session. You can find us at TLC Coaches on Facebook, Instagram, and our website.
Awesome.
Peace and love. Bye-bye.